today on Real Radio.
And he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. How does Jesus come to us? Answer, by the person of the Holy Spirit. And every Christian who has asked Christ to be their Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Every believer. But not all believers have the Holy Spirit upon them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, of course, 1 Samuel is an Old Testament book, but it reveals more and more the work of the Holy Spirit, which many think is a New Testament teaching only. But as we'll see, this is simply not the case. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Church Growth 101.
First of all, some of you are interested about who is the Holy Spirit. Some of you have come out of cults. And you're still saying, and you're still wondering, who is the Holy Spirit, even if he is a he? Because you've been taught that he's an it. Well, listen, Acts chapter 5, verse 3, speaks of the Holy Spirit being a person. But Peter said to Ananias, depends on how you pronounce it, I guess. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not yet your own? And after it was sold, was it still not under your power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but unto God. Two truths are known in Acts chapter 5. The Holy Spirit is a person, because you can only lie to a person. You can't lie to a street pole or an it. You can only lie to a person. Number two, the person being lied to in Acts chapter 5 is spoken of here as being the Holy Spirit, God. God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who's a person, always referred to as a he, by the way, has emotion. He has emotions. In fact, in many scriptures, it says, do not quench the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. These are human attributes and characteristics of a human or of a person. God the Holy Spirit, a person. Though he's not human, he has a emotion. He has a logic. He has a mind. And in Isaiah 63:10, this is an amazing verse. Isaiah 63:10, there the prophet was speaking to the nation Israel about how they had disobeyed and rebelled against God. And Isaiah 63:10 says, but they, that is the children of Israel, rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them and became their enemy, and he fought against them. The Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit turning on you because of you grieving him and grieving him? Now, it's amazing. We live in the end of the New Testament age, and the Holy Spirit, he puts up with so much. Isn't that true? He bears up with so much. But back in the Old Testament times, obviously the children of Israel grieved the Holy Spirit, and he turned on them and became their enemy. He has emotion. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 teaches us that he's sovereign. He has his own will. Acts 13:2 says, and as they ministered unto the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do. Isn't that interesting? So you see the cult that says, well, it's just an it. They're not familiar with their Bible. No, the Bible says here in 1 Samuel 16:13 that Samuel took the horn of oil. Remember what that is all about, the horn of oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And he anointed David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the oil. In the Old Testament time, the oil, as we touched on before, is a symbol, a mark of the Holy Spirit. It is a biblical type of the Spirit of God. Exodus 29, verse 7. There Moses is commanded that you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on the high priest's head and anoint him. Why? Because it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, listen to this, half as much sweet-smelling ointments, 250 shekels, 250 according to the shekel of the sanctuary, olive oil, and you shall make from these a holy anointing oil and an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer, and it shall be holy anointing oil unto you. A symbol, a type of the Spirit of God. We know from the book of James that we're to pray for those who are sick, anointing them with oil. The oil speaks of the Spirit. Psalm 23, verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. And by the way, it goes on. The psalmist David says, my cup runs over. Two statements regarding the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In John 7, verse 35, Jesus says that regarding the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Spirit comes upon you and takes possession of your life and comes within you as one who trusts in the Lord, there in John 7, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will gush out of you, as it were, torrents of living water. My cup runneth over. Interesting. And then David, of course, says, you anoint my head with oil. Again, a symbol, a type of the Holy Spirit. Anointing with the oil. Genesis chapter 28, you can mark it down. I just love this. I always look for reasons to insert this portion of Scripture into a study because it's so fun. Genesis 28:11. It's about Jacob. You know, Jacob was quite the stinker. You know that? He was a brat. He was a conniver. And Jacob's one of those guys where you read about his life and you wonder, can this guy get saved? I always see Jacob just totally dressed up in this pinstripe kind of funky suit, working at some sort of a sales thing, you know, and he's real slick. Jacob would rob you blind and you'd never know it. And he's full of himself. And God will break Jacob. But it says in Genesis 28:11, so Jacob came to a certain place and stayed there all night long. By the way, he was on the run. Because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place, and by the way, I've been there, there's a lot of stones, and he put it at his head or under his head. He used the rock for a pillow. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heavens. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, listen, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north. And God lays out the blessing there. And he says in verse 15, behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? See, I say awesome all the time. It's right here in the Bible. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this, listen, and this is the gate to heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took a stone that he had placed underneath his head, and he set it up as a pillar. And he poured what on it? Oil. And he called the name of the place Bethel, the house of God. It's been a while since I've had a chance to show you this. How true is this scripture? Well, take a look at this. Bethel, that's it from 220 miles out in space. Can't see much there, can you? Look at that. See, what I just, I still don't see it. Well, we're going to rotate the map here pretty soon. There's Bethel. Are you able to see that? That's from space. That's a real photograph from a U.S. satellite. Now we rotate it to the left. You see that area that's circled? That's the mountains just east of Bethel. Now watch this. That area, remember, we rotated the map now, so north is to your left. Hebrew is red from right to left. Okay? Keeping that in mind, take a look at this. You see the city of Bethel to the south here, or what would be down below? You see those mountainous areas up where the north is at? Watch how this turns out here. And this is where Jacob slept. See that? Say, well, I still don't see anything. Just wait. That's the city and hill country of Bethel. Watch this. Watch this. You see that? Those are the letters of the Lord for his name. Now watch this. This is Jehovah. Remember, they don't say Jehovah. They don't have J. They Yah is the sound. Jehovah. Jacob is sleeping here, and he says, surely God's in this place. And I didn't even know it. Well, we didn't know it either until we put a satellite up there. And I never knew it until a little old lady in Tiberias showed me this. And I almost passed out. It's amazing. But watch this. Do you see that little... Well, back up a second. You guys are going ahead of me here. I don't know what you guys... I'm using this, but you're not listening to a word I'm saying here. Okay, stay right there. Now go ahead one. Look at this. These are the Hebrew letters for only unique son. Now back up a second, guys. This is the name of the Lord. He says, I didn't even know God was in this place. Well, not only that, when you take a closer look in the top left-hand corner, watch how the print in correlation with the topography changes to God's only son. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's no wonder why Jacob had that to exclaim, why he had that to say. It's amazing. Bethel, truly, God is in this place. God is involved in every detail to bless us, so much so that he's waited all that time for us to put a satellite up into space that we might see such a thing. The Bible says that God is, and the Jews believe this true, that God has written his name on the land of Israel. And truly he has. Amazing and exciting. Listen, concerning the promised work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised in John 14:16. We touched on it last time. Jesus said, and he was speaking to all of his guys just before he left, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, that's a person, may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus then says in verse 18, an amazing statement. Remember, he's leaving. He's going back to heaven. And he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. How does Jesus come to us? Answer, by the person of the Holy Spirit. And every Christian who has asked Christ to be their Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Every believer. But not all believers have the Holy Spirit upon them. That is an experience that we learn from Scripture is an over and over and over again event that comes, as we saw last time and as we maybe we'll see tonight, is by us asking the Spirit to fill us or to come upon us. Many believers post-resurrection Jesus, post-ascension of Christ, believed in Christ and were converted, and then Paul would come to town and he would say, what was it that you were baptized into? And they say, well, John's. We were baptized into John's work, into water. And right then there, throughout the book of Acts, many believers then were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they began to either speak with boldness, or they had miracles, or they had tongues, or whatever the work of the Holy Spirit dictated in their lives. Very amazing, very exciting. Romans 8:16. I love this because the Holy Spirit was given to not only strengthen the church with gifts and to be at large in the body, but to also give us assurance. Romans 8:16, it says, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you know what that means? For the life of me, what do you think that means? Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Don't you think this implies that we ought to know that we're children of God? This word to me is absolutely clear. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, your spirit, that's the part that was born again. You, the part that got saved. Your spirit that's been born again agrees with his spirit that we're the children of God. It's really exciting stuff. Some friends, I know people who need to understand that. They're Christians, but they walk around like this. Oh, golly. What's the matter? I don't know if I'm going to be a Christian tomorrow. Why? I don't know. I could really goof up. That's not what I read in the Bible. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. Pretty clear. It's exciting. The Holy Spirit at work. By the way, he's a comforter. He brings comfort. John 16:7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I leave you. For if I do not go away, the comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So now we got Jesus telling us it's better for us that he leaves because he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. Amazing, exciting. And so that's very, very good news. Jot down these verses concerning the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What does that mean? As I mentioned a moment ago, the moment you're born again, the Spirit of God baptizes you once and for all. Listen, some of you need to hear this. Once and for all, the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. That means, you guys, you got saved, and you got saved once because you don't need to get saved again. You mean I don't need to come forward again? No. Well, how about every Sunday? Because I had a bad week, I'll come forward again on Sunday. You don't need to. The moment you were born again, the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. Now, you may feel better coming forward, but quite frankly, you're probably trusting in an external outward act of coming forward, but don't let me be the one to tell you that and bum you out. The truth is, you're saved. If you've accepted Christ, you're saved. Yeah, you may have a difficult week. You may have a rough time, but you don't need to go back and get born again. It's very good. It's very exciting. You get born again. Yeah, you may struggle, but you're born again. The Spirit of God, and the Greek is emphatic and clear, he baptizes you, the Spirit of God, baptizes you once into the body of Christ. How about this term? The Spirit of God places you in the church of Jesus Christ, which is the bride of Christ, which he speaks of as being one with him and his body. Okay? The second thing we want to talk about, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within every believer. In John 14:17, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in you. That happens at the moment of conversion. But there is this event that we're talking about tonight. And when David experienced in 1 Samuel 16:13, and what every believer ought to experience if they will just open their heart and understanding to the work of the Spirit. And it is this: the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes his believers with the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. Are you guys with me? The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. I have to talk like this. The Holy Spirit does it. But Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God baptizes the believer into the body of Christ, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Do you get that? It's very important. Mark 1:8. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but you will be baptized, or he will baptize you, with the Holy Spirit. You see that with? Very important. Matthew 3:11. John says in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Post-salvation filling or baptism, recorded in Scripture? Jesus said it again just before he left. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. This is a post-salvation filling. In other words, if you're arguing with, well, I don't think this is in the Bible, I'm going to fight this, the church group I came from, we never even talked about this thing. Well, check this out. Jesus said this to believers who were born again, and they had the Holy Spirit of God in them, because in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them, remember? And they received the Holy Spirit. He was dwelling in them, but he had not yet come, what? Upon them. That happened on the day of what? Pentecost. Listen to what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Speaking about the day of Pentecost. Acts 13, 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Post-salvation experience. Acts 11, 15. And Peter said, as I began to speak, this is when Peter's given an account of Gentiles getting saved, which the Jerusalem church, you guys, the Jerusalem church, they couldn't stand. These guys were born again Jews who couldn't believe that God would save wretches like you and I. What? Honky? Chinese? Blacks? Hispanics? Non-Jews? He's saving non-Jews? Can this even happen? That's what the Jerusalem church was thinking. How can this happen? See, the Jews had always been taught in their traditions, not from the Bible, but even perhaps James and others were so polluted by tradition that when they heard Gentiles getting saved, they didn't think it was possible because they had been taught by rabbinical teaching that God created Gentiles to be fuel, charcoal, for hell. That's what they taught. In fact, in Israel today, Orthodox, they still teach that. That you're nothing but fuel for hell. Yeah. Do you ever? When's the last time you had an Orthodox Jew knock on your door and try to evangelize you? They don't want you! If you run into their place of worship, they run out! They're not going to knock on your door and say, become a Jew today. It's not going to happen because they believe that you're fuel for hell. So when the Gentiles were getting saved, the Jerusalem church was going, oh, there's something really weird here. This grace, this message, this salvation is getting out of hand. And Peter said, hey, here's the deal. I began to speak. He says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as I was speaking, just as it happened to us at the beginning.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel, and in this case, a few other passages from throughout Scripture. We'll continue with more of this fascinating series of studies through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been listening to Real Radio for the last week or two, you've heard us talk about this month's special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called What in the World is Going On? It's a look at what's happening in these last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. You got to admit, when we see what's been happening in our world these days, we can't help but ask that very question, what in the world is happening here? Well, the best way to answer that question is not through speculation, it's through Scripture. And that's exactly why we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On? Now, when we say special offer here at Real Radio, that's exactly what it means. For your gift of any amount to this ongoing radio outreach, we'll send you Pastor Jack's double DVD lesson, What in the World is Going On? Call, click, or write when you send in your tax-deductible gift. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you like using the mailbox, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for that double DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On? And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.